Blog Talk Radio.
Today, we will talk about it later, but it is another Friday edition of the Fastlane Sports Show. We've got a lot to talk about today. We've got college football playoffs, Ohio high school football state championships. There's a game going on right now. There was one last night, plus much more. Stay here, keep it tuned right here to the Slicks and Sticks Radio Network on blogtalkradio.com. It's all coming to you live today from the 357 Woodwork Studios. Now, let's go!
Live from the 357 Woodwork Studios in Stark County on the SNS Radio Network, this is the Fastlane Sports Show. And now, your host, Pete Tottich.
Thank you.
welcome to another episode of the Fast Lane Sports Show powered by Hammer DFS. And I am your host, Pete. A monthly subscription to Hammer DFS gets you access to everything they play, including the NFL, NBA, MLB, PGA, NHL, and of course, NASCAR. You'll also get exclusive access to their private chat with fellow members and 10 fantasy experts. Right now, listeners of the Fast Lane Sports Show can get $10 off their first month at Hammer. Just go to hammerdfs.com and sign up with coupon code FASTLANE to get your exclusive discount. That's coupon code is FASTLANE, F-A-S-T-L-A-N-E, all one word. That'll get you $10 off your first month at Hammer today. Be sure to also follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Hammer DFS. Let them know you heard about them on the Fast Lane Sports Show. That'll tickle their fancy and get them all feeling warm and fuzzy inside, knowing that they're being heard on this show. All right. Welcome to today's show. This is the Friday edition of the Fast Lane Sports Show. And we are coming to you live from the 357 Woodwork Studios right here in beautiful Stark County, Ohio. It is a gloomy, ugly, dreary, overcast day. But you know what? It's December, December 6th, just a few weeks till Christmas. I hope you guys are getting ready for the Christmas holidays. This is my favorite holiday and time of the year. I'm not so fond on the cold weather just because I have to work outside in it every day during the week. But, you know, I've always loved Christmas. I've always loved winter and the snow, just not the cold. If we could just have, you know, snow maybe in the summer when it's 80 or 90 degrees and it could snow and have Christmas then, that would be just wonderful. No, I'm a warm weather type of person, but I do for some reason love Christmas and the snow. So anyway, we have a lot of football to cover today. We've got college football playoffs, the debate going on right now on who will be in and who will be out. We've got Ohio High School State Championship games going right now. In fact, I believe this is Division 6 playing right now, Springfield versus Anna. And it's not looking too good for the Tigers. In fact, Anna just now scored again. That makes the score 40-14. Anna on top of Springfield. In the third quarter, about 5 minutes to go, 5 minutes left in the third quarter. So it will be a running clock now not yet, 26 points. Anna is on top of Springfield by a score. They're getting ready to kick the extra point right now, and it's in. So 41-14, Anna on top of Springfield. This is Division 6 going on right now. And then right after this game at 3, not right after, but after this game at 3 o'clock today is Division 3, Mansfield Senior versus Trotwood Madison. And that will be the third game in a row so far that it will be a Tiger playing for a state championship. And it's not looking too good for Springfield right now. And it wasn't very good for Maslin last night as the LaSalle Lancers doubled up on the Maslin Tigers and won the Division II state championship game last night, 34-17. So those Tigers not being able to pull it off. Springfield down right now, 41-14. So the Springfield Tigers not looking too good. Maybe the Mansfield Tigers, even though they spell their name differently, it's T-Y-G-E-R-S, maybe the TY Tigers can maybe that's the trick. Maybe it has to be a Y instead of an I. Not sure, but we'll see what Mansfield Senior can do at 3 o'clock against Trotwood Madison for the Division III state championship. So we've got college playoff debate. We've got high school, Ohio high school state championship games going on live right now. And we'll take a look at the NFL week 14 coming up. And then of course, here in a little bit, Ellery Moore will be joining us to discuss last night's game. It will be the last episode that we have with Ellery Moore as our co-host for our Friday high school football segment of this show. So I can't wait to get Ellery on to talk to him, but it's going to be a little bittersweet. So we've got all of that coming up. Of course, Ellery will be joining us on the Barbasol Shea phone line. And you can also join the show all day today. The Barbasol Shea phone lines will be open all day. You can call in. 657-383-1903 is the Barbasol Shea phone line. Or if you don't want to call in and be on the live air, you can text the show at 330-209-4597. Thanks to our great sponsor, Arbonne, for the text line. I don't know about you guys, but I say we get right into it. We'll go ahead and start talking a little college football. This past Tuesday, of course, was the selection committee as they got together and they figured out that, you know what, they said the top four look all right. We'll just keep it the way it is. So going into the weekend, your top four in college football looks like Ohio State, LSU, Clemson, and Georgia. Those are your top four college football teams right now. If the playoffs were this weekend, that would be who is in. On the outside looking in, there was a little bit of a shakeup. Fifth through tenth was a little shooken up after last weekend's games. Moving up one spot is Utah to fifth. They are in the Pac-12, and of course they will be playing tonight. Utah and Oregon playing tonight for the Pac-12 championship. That game is at 8 o'clock Eastern. So be sure to tune into that. Utah playing Oregon for the Pac-12 championship, and Utah sitting fifth. Oklahoma sixth, Baylor seventh. Oklahoma moving up one, Baylor moving up two, jumping ahead of Wisconsin. Baylor, Oklahoma, Big 12 teams. And they play tomorrow at noon for the Big 12 championship. So here's what we're looking at. We got Ohio State playing in the Big 10 championship against Wisconsin. LSU and Georgia, number two, number four right now, playing tomorrow for the SEC championship. And then Clemson taking on Virginia Tech. Are they playing Virginia? So Clemson will be playing Virginia for the ACC championship. Now, I don't see Clemson losing this one to Virginia. So Clemson should win out. They should win the ACC, win their conference championship and finish the season 13-0. Big Ten, Ohio State, they've already beat Wisconsin once this year. It was early. It was right after Wisconsin suffered a pretty devastating loss to Illinois or Iowa, whichever one it was. But Ohio State, Wisconsin playing for the Big Ten championship. And I don't see Ohio State losing this game. I see them going in and just making a show of it and putting Wisconsin on their back. And having their way with them. So Ohio State, Clemson, they both should win 13-0 for both of those teams. LSU, Georgia, playing for the SEC championship. Utah is playing for the Pac-12 championship against Oregon. And then right below Utah is Oklahoma Baylor playing for the Big 12 championship. So here's what we got. Here's the debate. Here's what we've got going on with these conference championship games. LSU, Georgia. So here's my first scenario. Okay, LSU, if LSU wins, they're in, right? Obviously. They'll finish 13-0. They will have won the SEC championship. Utah, if Utah wins, of course, Utah is playing 13th-ranked Oregon. So Utah is going to need some help if they win. Their first thing is they got to win. Oklahoma, if Oklahoma wins, which I'm going to take Oklahoma against Baylor. I'm going to get Oklahoma with the win here. So now here's what we got, though. Okay, so LSU wins. That gives Georgia two losses. I'm going to say a two-loss Georgia is out because now you've got three teams right below them playing for their conference championship, Utah, Oklahoma, Baylor. If Utah wins and Baylor wins, I'm going to put Utah in. Okay, Utah is in with a win and a Baylor win. Why? Because Baylor is two spots down. Yes, they will have beaten number six Oklahoma, but it's a one-loss Oklahoma. Baylor's already got a loss. They are in seventh. So here's my feeling is Utah's already ranked above Baylor. I gotta say that Utah with a win and Baylor with a win is in. Oklahoma with a win, Georgia with a loss. You know, Oklahoma plays a little bit better of a schedule. Yeah, they're ranked sixth. But a lot of people are saying that an Oklahoma win and a Georgia loss and Oklahoma is in. So what happens, even if Utah wins, there's a lot of people saying that an Oklahoma win will put them in with a Georgia loss. I kind of can see that a little bit. I think that Ohio State is locked. No, I think Ohio State and LSU are locked regardless. I think that especially Ohio State, even if they go in and Wisconsin wins, I got to think that the worst that Ohio State can drop would be third. if LSU and Clemson win, I would think, and if Ohio State happens to lose, I would think they would drop to third. LSU Clemson would move up one to first and second, and then they would put either if Utah or Oklahoma or Baylor, I think whoever wins, if Oklahoma wins, I think they're in. If Baylor wins and Utah wins, I think Utah's in. I gotta predict that. That's what I would think with that. But if Georgia wins, I almost feel like LSU and Ohio State are in the same boat. That even if Georgia beats LSU, I gotta think that all that's gonna do is move Georgia up to second. If Ohio State wins, if Clemson wins. I would think that if Ohio State and Clemson and Georgia win, that puts Clemson to second, Georgia to third, and maybe drop LSU to fourth. And then you've got these other teams, Utah, Oklahoma, Baylor. Even if they win, I almost feel like if Georgia beats LSU, that the top four stay the same. Just Clemson moves up to second, Georgia moves up to third, and LSU goes to fourth. I just don't see them knocking LSU out with one loss being, I don't know. I don't, who knows with this committee? This committee is very, very unpredictable. It seems, especially the last couple years with who they're putting in and who they're not putting in. I mean, if LSU happens to lose to Georgia, do they take LSU out for a Utah, or if Utah wins the Pac-12, do they take LSU out if they lose the SEC and put Utah in? You know, where does the line get drawn for something like this? Because if Wisconsin goes in and beats Ohio State, that's not going to put Wisconsin in the top four with two losses, with these other teams ahead of them. You know, Oklahoma or Baylor, one of those two are going to win the Big 12. They're already ahead of Wisconsin, and they only have one loss. If Utah wins the Pac-12, they've only got one loss. You know, even if Georgia wins the SEC, they've only got one loss. I don't see Wisconsin getting into the top four, even with the win over Ohio State. But I also don't see Ohio State dropping out of the top four with the loss to Wisconsin. And if that's the case, if the committee is basically saying that Ohio State's a lock by making them number one going into this weekend, I gotta feel like, what does Ohio State, other than bragging rights and other than to say, hey, we're the Big Ten champions, if I'm Ohio State, I go in and maybe play my starters the first series, maybe the first two series, maybe the first two series you can score and go up 14-0, but then I'm pulling out my starters. I'm pulling out Fields. I'm pulling out Dobbins. Maybe I'm pulling out Chase Young. And getting some of these guys out of this game, because really, even if you lose and you're still in for Ohio State, why take that chance of getting one of those guys injured for the playoffs, right? So I don't see the starters for Ohio State staying in very long in this Big Ten championship game Saturday, especially against a very physical Wisconsin. You just don't want to take that chance. Especially if the top four doesn't change, you know, if Georgia happens to beat LSU and the top four doesn't change, you're going to play LSU, Clemson, or Georgia in the playoffs. You don't want to go in banged up and beat up with injuries. You want to be as fresh and as injury free and ready to play for those top four teams. So that's just what I think is going to happen for the college football playoffs after this weekend. But who knows what's going to happen? It's the championship games. You got your Power Five playing this weekend, but only four teams can make it. So, you know, you've got five conferences, but only top four can make it. So some conference is going to be left out. One conference might have two teams in the playoffs. Who knows? Who knows what the selection committee will do? I'm just glad I don't have to be a part of that because it's a mess. Alabama losing last weekend, that dropped them way down. They dropped seven spots to 12th. And then, of course, Minnesota dropping their game last week to Wisconsin. That knocked them down to 18th with two losses and took away their chance to play Ohio State for the Big Ten championship. So, you know, a lot of teams down the stretch not being able to make it. So we will get, we've got Ellery Moore on the Barbasol Shea phone line with us now. Hello, Ellery.
How you doing, my man? Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, it is Friday morning. It is a difficult Friday, but here we are. We have Ellery Moore. He is the ESPN 990 WTIG announcer for the Maslin Tigers. He is joining us today for the final High School Friday show. Ellery, thank you for coming on this year and talking to us every Friday and talking Maslin Tiger football and high school football with us. I appreciate that.
Man, it was a blast, man. I appreciate it. It was an honor to do it, man. Anytime I could talk about football, especially Maslin football, I'm all about it.
Yes, for sure.
That's my three-year-old, everybody.
It's all good. It's all good. If she wants to talk, put her on the phone, too. We'll ask her some questions. But
I'm going to say go, Tigers.
Go, Tigers!
All right. last night wasn't exactly the outcome I don't think that Tiger Nation was expecting. I think going into the game, it was something we thought we could pull off. But Cincinnati LaSalle came in with a pretty good game plan, and they were quick and speedy, and I mean they were fast.
Man, they were fast. They were athletic, and they were disciplined. Man, they executed everything they wanted to do. They ran about four or five plays on offense, but they executed them to perfection. They knew exactly what they were doing. After Mass's first drive and they came out with only leaving with 3 points, man, LaSalle had control of that game ever since that point. I know it sounds crazy to say, but Maslin really never had control of the football game. They never, ever had a real opportunity to win, except when they came out in the second half and they needed to score that drive. The first possession of the second half, they needed to score to get control of the game. And once that didn't happen, I was just up there thinking, like, this is it. We're not going to win this game because this team has so much control. They have so much discipline, and this running attack is something like we haven't seen all year. But we've seen it before. People were going to attack the edge. Okay. People were going to attack the edge at Maslin because that's where we got exposed at all year. And if they watch the film, the week before from the kid Lance from Avon and what he did, and their quarterback was their leading rusher, Pete. He had 1,300 yards going into this game. He had 14 touchdowns. The kid going to Northwestern only had about 800 and some odd yards and 15 touchdowns. So imagine how they lit up once they watched that Avon tape. Lit up. We got breached the whole Avon game all day long. We did. We couldn't get off blocks, and that just translated on to the next game. But this team had better athletes than Avon. This team had guys going to Northwestern. This team had guys that Pitt has already offered. This team has guys that Ohio State is offering. You understand? So they didn't have – Avon didn't have these guys. And that's why it just turned into basically a slaughter. I mean, it was a long beatdown. It was a slow death, as we like to say. They slow walked us into a state championship, but they beat us up on the way.
Yeah, our defense – you know, like you said, I mean, they only ran three or four plays on offense against our defense, and it was amazing to see that we really didn't make any defensive at least from my perspective. I mean, you're a defensive minded guy. You played defense your whole career, so, and you had an excellent view of it from the booth. But from where I was sitting, it didn't look like we made any adjustments to stop it. And our guys were doing something I hadn't seen them do all yet. They were diving too much and not staying on
at
their
people's
feet,
ankles,
trying to make the stop. They were tackles. They were jumping, you know, they were diving too much and getting off their feet. So, I mean, I was just very confused on. I mean, we made adjustments all year long. I think that's how we did so well in the second half. And it's like we just came out and just said, well, this is what we've got, and we'll just go with it. I mean, it was very, very disappointing.
Yeah, it wasn't very – that was one of the more disappointing things on both sides of the ball. I don't think we adjusted on the offensive side of the ball, which we have been struggling pretty handily in the second half of football games on the offensive side of the ball, period. We go from an unbelievable first half, Aiden Longwell throwing 5 touchdowns against Perry, to struggling for the rest of the playoffs in the second half to score points, man. It just wasn't the same. We did not have the same energy in the second half. We were not playing very well in the second half. I mean, things just, they weren't the same at all. And you can tell. And this LaSalle team, they took advantage of it. They knew exactly what they had. They knew that Maslin was just going to go deep no matter if they – I mean, before this ball snap, the defensive backs that were lined up over our outside receivers, before the ball snap, dropped back at least 3 to 4 yards almost every single snap. And we didn't adjust to that.
Yeah.
There's
no way
in the world that I just don't throw the ball out there to Jaden or Andrew Wilson-Lamp and let them just make a play instead of keep trying to go deep. And then I told people on the air, Pete, before that, I said, if we don't run the ball 40 to 50 times, we lose tonight because we don't need Aiden to throw 20-plus times to win because that's not how you're going to beat this football team. And that's exactly what happened, and that's why we lost.
Yeah, I believe you even said that yesterday on my show, is that we needed to get physical early,
yep.
Dominate, be aggressive,
mm-hmm.
and run the ball to beat this team. And yeah, like you said, if they watch that Avon game at all, I just don't see, you know, our coaches were at the Avon game. I'm sure we had film. I'm sure we knew what type of quarterback we were going to be facing against LaSalle. I don't know. It's very disappointing. Maslin now 0-5 in the state championship games. 0-4 against them Cincinnati teams in the state championship games. We just can't get that monkey off our back. And this year is no different. But enough sadness. Real quick, we had some excellent kids that came through. Program the
man.
Last couple years that were
yeah.
seniors that I can imagine the emotion. I can't imagine because I've never been in that situation, but I can just think of the emotions that they went through last night as seniors. But they will be going on to brighter futures and careers in college. Congrats to those kids. Hats off to those kids for playing this year the way they did. And we're losing some kids, but Ellery, we've got some kids coming back next year. I think we'll be right back in contention to be the talk of Division II again next year.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree, man. But, quick shout-out to those seniors. There were some of them are legends, man. Some of them are flat-out legendary Tigers as far as Aiden Longwell and Preston Hodges and even Zion Pfeiffer as a backup role and the things that he was able to do in a backup role over his careers, just one of the more selfless football players and very talented selfless football players that we ever had in this program. Manny McElroy, Benjamin Creekbaum, Noah Richards, Anthony Pedro, Jaron Hodge. I mean, you can go Cole Jones. You can go on. I mean, Seth Lance, one of the best special teams players we've ever had to play for Maslin. Heath Mason, another guy, one of the best special team players we ever had to play in Maslin. And it was just one of those things, man. They just did. If this was the year, you know, that you bet on, you would bet on the Tigers to get it done this year because of those type of names that I just said. And then the welcoming of Terrence Keats. We love that kid. He came in and he gave us everything he had. He had some controversial things come up. And I think it kind of broke him down at the end of the season, which will weigh on anybody. And I think that's what happened there. But the kid is a Maslin Tiger. He loves Maslin. And when I say he loves Maslin, he loves Maslin. He is now a Maslin Tiger. So all of those guys, man, you know, just want to give a big shout out to them. They're now brothers of mine as a former Tiger. I love them. And I'm going to always be here for them. Forever and ever, because that's what we do in this town. We have a bond that's unmatched by any community in the world when it comes to our high school program and our kids there. But coming back, I mean, just start at the top. You know, you go with Jaden and Andrew Wilson-Lamp coming back. Zach Catrone is a very good quarterback. We've seen him come in the playoffs in hostile environments and make plays and win games. You know what I mean? We've seen him do it right off the bench. So he's going to be seasoned, man. You got to watch a legend in front of him break all kinds of records, throwing to these guys,
Now he's going to try to rewrite at least the single season record, throw it to him now. And all of those guys grew up playing together, you know, and freshman and, you know, JV, you know what I mean, stuff like that. So they got a great relationship. Got Eric Thurman, who's going, who I believe is going to be a big play threat in the middle of the field for us, which we lacked so much this year. And then Raekwon Vinson. I mean, seriously? It's going to be – we got a lot of comeback. The defensive side of the football is where it's going to be a lot of new question marks, man. But I believe Xavier Andrews will be our middle linebacker, and he'll be a great leader there. I think C.J. Harris is going to be a really good defensive tackle for us. And we got some young guys coming up in the ranks who are going to have to step up and make big plays.
Yeah, it's you know, you talk about Zach Catrone coming back. I mean, he started in high-profile playoff games as a sophomore 2 years ago to help Maslin get through a couple playoff games when Aiden got beat up a little bit. Zach Catrone stepped in as a sophomore. So he has awesome varsity experience. I think he'll be ready to go. And like you said, he's got two high-profile receiving targets coming back with him. Plus, to throw to, plus our kickers. Both our kickers will be back. They'll both be seniors next year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you said, just a few question marks maybe on offense and defensive line. And on the defensive side of the ball, just a couple question marks, spots that need filled. But I'm pretty confident about next year, and I can't wait for the 2020 season. I know these kids will be pumped to get in the weight room in the off season after the first of the year and start thinking about 2020. But we're still chasing that 900th win for Maslin. Hopefully we get it. It'll be the first home game of the season next year. Hopefully we get a win in week one. And it'll be the 900th win in Paul Brown Tiger Stadium for Coach Moore and the Maslin Tigers. So that'll be pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And you know, just, you know, I feel bad for these kids for last night. You know, they played their hearts and minds out. It's just, you know, I mean, almost kind of throw the blame a little bit on the coaches for just maybe not making the right adjustments. Because, I mean, you can't blame 16 or 17-year-old kids for doing what they've been doing all year and just coming up short. So, you know.
You
but,
and then at the end of the day, you also want to tip your hat to LaSalle. That's a good football team, man.
Yeah.
You got to give them that credit, man. They got some players over there, man. They came in to execute and they won the state championship. You know, maybe if the adjustments were even made, they might have still won the state championship. You just know, as a fan of Maslin and as a Maslin Tiger, we wanted to see them make that adjustment. But
yeah. Yep. So LaSalle wins their fourth state championship in the last 6 years. You know, I guess they can thank us even for beating Hoban and them not having to play Hoban for the state championship game. But, you know, it was a great season. Like I said, Ellery, thank you very much for,
taking some
time out on your Fridays to come on my show and talk with me. And I look forward to doing it again next fall when football starts back up, having you on every Friday again.
Hey, absolutely, brother. I appreciate it, man. It's been a blast. We'll keep going, man, and keep watching these young people grow up, man. And for all the Maslin fans out there, stop crying about the parochial school stuff. Please stop it. It's an embarrassment. Please stop doing it. We're Maslin. We don't care who we play. We line up like Tigers, and we go out there and give everything we got. Stop whining about it. Stop crying about it. Stop making it seem like an excuse. We got beat by a quality football team, and that is what it is. Just be proud of our guys and move forward. Go Tigers.
Yeah, there's not much we can do about that debate. So, and people are going to talk about it for a long time, but I completely agree with you on that. So, Ellery, have a great rest of your Friday. Have a great weekend. And
right,
if
buddy.
I don't talk to you before then, you know, you and your family, I wish you guys a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Same to you, my brother. Y'all take care now. Happy Holidays.
All right, go Tigers.
All right, bye. Go Tigers.
All right, that was Ellery Moore from ESPN 990 WTIG joining us today on the Barbasol Shave phone lines. Don't forget to look for the all-new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus razors. It features a seventh blade for refining and styling. Also, for that close, comfortable shave, be sure to use Barbasol Shave Cream. We will take a quick break. When we come back, we'll look at the NFL and Week 14 and see how the NFL season is shaping up. Stick around. Stay tuned.
.357 Woodworks is a high-end quality, handcrafted small wood shop. They specialize in butcher blocks, breadboards, and kitchen and dining room tables. You can order anything from home decor to any custom order at .357 Woodworks. .357 Woodworks is located in Canton, Ohio, and can be contacted at 330-316-7847. You can follow them or even contact them on Facebook at .357 Woodworks, and you can connect with them on Instagram at .357 Woodworks. Be sure to mention Fastlane Sports Show when placing an order to get 10% off your order. Again, you can reach them at 330-316-7847. For nearly 100 years, Barbasol has remained the American standard and tradition in shaving. Generations of men and women have trusted Barbasol to look and feel their best during life's greatest moments. Today, Barbasol remains true to the principle of providing products at an honest value that deliver a close, comfortable shave with every use. Be sure to look for a can of Barbasol at your local supermarket or wherever shaving products are sold. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol.
You already know what time it is, man. Let's get to it.
Living in the northeast part of the country, we all know how dirty our cars can get during the winter. Between the road grime and salt, our cars look terrible. Don't spend your weekend or money at those touch-free car washes. Instead, take your car to Dan's Detailing. Dan takes the hassle out of getting a clean, showroom new-looking car. Visit him on Facebook or call 330-321-7974 to get a wash scheduled today. Dan will get that ride clean and looking new inside and out. He also specializes in ceramic coating, which will rejuvenate and renew that high gloss shine. Just minutes south of Cleveland, call today and tell him you heard about Dan's Detailing on the Fastlane Sports Show. You're listening to the Fastlane Sports Show on the SNS Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is the Fastlane Sports Show powered by Hammer DFS. if you don't know how much fun Fantasy NASCAR is on DraftKings and FanDuel, or if you've been wanting to try daily fantasy sports, Hammer DFS has everything you need to start winning real cash prizes. These guys have been playing and winning on DraftKings and FanDuel every day for 3 years. A monthly subscription to Hammer DFS gets you access to everything they play, including the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, and NASCAR. You'll also get exclusive access to their private chat with fellow members and 10 fantasy experts. Right now, fast listeners of the Fastlane Sports Show can get $10 off their first month at Hammer. Just go to hammerdfs.com, sign up with coupon code Fastlane to get your exclusive discount today. And breaking news out of Ohio and Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium. The Division VI game is over. Anna defeats Springfield 48-14. That will be Anna. I believe this is Anna's first state championship win for them. So the Anna Rockets defeating the Springfield Tigers by a score of 48-14 to win the Division VI state championship. Then coming up at 3 o'clock today, Mansfield Senior Tigers will take on Dayton Trotwood Madison for the Division III state championship game at 3 p.m. And then tonight, the big boys, Division I Cincinnati Elder will be taking on Pickerington Central for the Division I state championship game. That game is at 8 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, we will have Chris Rasick of Hammer DFS with us for Saturday Morning Fantasy Live. We will talk more about the NFL season. But right now, we will kind of talk about Week 14 and how are the playoffs shaping up in the NFL. I know it's still a little bit early, but we've got teams that are already preparing for and getting ready for the NFL playoffs. The phone lines are still open. We will be on the air for just a little bit longer. If you'd like to call in and weigh in on college football playoffs, maybe Ohio High School State Championships or the NFL season, you can call in. The Barbasol Shea phone lines are open till the end of the show, 657-383-1903 is the number to call. If you don't want to call in and you'd rather text your comments, question, or whatever, you can do that, 330-209-4597. Thanks to our great sponsors at Arbonne for the text line number. Week 14 started last night, and two teams that neither one of them, I guess, want to win the NFC East because – They both are stinking it up pretty good this year. But the Cowboys and the Bears played last night. And Chicago gets their seventh win on the season now. They improved to 7-6 with the win over the Dallas Cowboys. Chicago coming out on top 31-24 in that game. That knocks Dallas down to 6-7. Now they're on a three-game losing streak. Philadelphia is on a three-game losing streak as well. This is what I mean. Neither one of these teams evidently want to win the East. Neither one of them evidently want to make the playoffs. But by rule, Dallas is sitting in a playoff spot right now. Listen to this. So right now, this weekend, heading into Week 14, you've got New Orleans. They've already clinched their division. They are 10-2, and they are five games ahead of Tampa with only 4 weeks left to go. So New Orleans clinching the NFC South But the other divisions are very, very tight. So New Orleans sitting on top of the NFC right now at 10-2. They're on a three-game winning streak. They are 8-2 in the NFC. Seattle sitting second in the NFC at 10-2 as well. They are 7-1 in the NFC. They're on a five-game win streak right now. They also sit atop the NFC West division at 10-2, tied with San Francisco at 10-2. But, of course, Seattle having the tiebreaker because they have a 3-0 divisional record, but they also beat San Francisco. So that's your top two in the NFC. Third in the NFC is Green Bay at 9-3. They're on a one-game winning streak. They're 6-2 in the NFC. They sit atop the NFC North. They are ahead of Minnesota at 8-4 and Chicago at 7-6. So that division is not at all won yet. Just like the West, you've got the Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, sitting in third at 7-5. So they're not out of this thing yet either. And then you've got Dallas because they are leading the NFC East at 6-7. They are in that final NFC leader spot for the playoffs at 6-7. Now, this is how the wild card is looking right now. Your top two wild card teams in the NFC, listen to this, is San Francisco and Minnesota. So those are your top two NFC wild card teams right now. You've got Dallas at 6-7. Sitting in a playoff spot because they lead a pathetic division, the NFC East right now. And you've got San Francisco at 10-2, Minnesota 8-4 in the top two wild card spots. And then you've got the Rams and the Bears at 7-5, 7-6, sitting third and fourth in the NFC wild card race. So very, very touchy there. As Dallas is sitting in a playoff spot right now. Taking a look at the AFC, you've got New England on top of the AFC East at 10-2. One game ahead of Buffalo. I'll tell you what, Buffalo is no joke this year. They came out with a vengeance in 2019. They're on a three-game winning streak. They are one game behind the Patriots. Don't forget, I believe Cleveland beat Buffalo this year. So keep that in mind, too. Buffalo 9-3, one game behind New England at 10-2 in the AFC East. The AFC North, Baltimore 10-2, Pittsburgh 7-5, Cleveland 5-7, Cincinnati finally getting their first win last week at 1-11. Baltimore leading the AFC North. AFC South, Houston 8-4, one game ahead of Tennessee at 7-5, who's one game ahead of Indianapolis at 6-6. Even this division is not. Houston is not out of the woods yet. AFC West, Kansas City 8-4. They're on a two-game winning streak now, but they were at one time they were the talk of the AFC. I mean, they were right up there with New England. It was looking like the Chiefs were going to be another AFC contender this year, but they had a rough patch there. They're 8-4 now. They are two games ahead of Oakland. Oakland 6-6 there in the AFC West. As far as the playoff picture looks for the AFC, Baltimore 10-2, New England 10-2. Those are your top two teams. Baltimore's on an eight-game winning streak. At one point, Baltimore was 2-2. Okay. At one point they were 2-1 and then they were 2-2. Now they're on an 8-game winning streak. They have the longest winning streak of any team right now in the NFL at 8 games. 8-game winning streak for the Ravens puts them at 10-2 atop of the AFC ahead of New England, who's also 10-2. Houston is in playoff contention at 8-4, as well as the Chiefs at 8-4. Those are your four divisional leaders. Your top two wild card teams in the AFC right now, you've got Buffalo and Pittsburgh. Buffalo at 9-3, Pittsburgh at 7-5. Both of those teams are still in it. On the outside looking in, Tennessee, Oakland, 7-5, 6-6. Indianapolis, 6-6. Those teams by far are not out of the playoff hopes just quite yet. So that is a look at your standings through week 14. Some games coming up this weekend, Sunday, 1 o'clock, Panthers at Falcons, Colts at Buccaneers, Dolphins at Jets, the 49ers at the Saints. That'll be a game to watch. Have that one circled there. Lions at Vikings, also at 1 o'clock. Broncos at Texans, Ravens at Bills. There's another game to keep circled. Some good games at 1 o'clock. Bengals at Browns, Redskins at Packers. At 4 o'clock games, you've got the Chargers at the Jaguars, Steelers at the Cardinals, Titans at the Raiders, and the Chiefs at the Patriots. So there's a 4 o'clock game to circle. Your Sunday night game is the Seahawks at the Rams. And Monday night, Eli Manning making a comeback. He will start for the Giants Monday night as they travel to Philly to take on the Eagles. The Eagles are a 9.5-point favorite. The Eagles have to win. If they plan on running away and trying to win the East and make the playoffs, the Eagles are in a must-win situation. They need to beat the Giants. We talked about the Ravens being on an 8-game winning streak. The Giants are an 8-game losing streak. So that is not the worst. Of course, the Bengals were on an 11-game losing streak before they won last weekend. So the Giants will be looking to get a little bit of a rebound here as they travel to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. So that is a quick look at Week 14, that will about do it for today. Tomorrow's show will be a good one. We will have Christina here for Talking Dirty, as she will get us all caught up on some hockey news, plus who will land in this weekend's penalty box. Chris Racek will be here for Saturday Morning Fantasy Live. We'll talk more about Week 14. We'll get his insight on what he thinks about the Dallas coaching job, Week 14 and NFL playoffs, and see what he has to say. And then one last Married to a Race Car presented by Arbonne. It will feature a good friend of the show, Lacey Brunel. She will be here. So be sure to tune in till we talk tomorrow morning. For Ellery, once again, thank you to him for stopping by each Friday to talk high school football with us. I appreciate that. So for him, for everybody else here at the Fast Lane Sports Show, thanks again for tuning in today. We will leave you with just a little bit of music if you're at work or just around the house and want to listen to a little bit of music. We'll leave you with some of that for now. So until we talk to you tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. bright and early, be sure to be up, be tuned in, follow the links on Facebook and Twitter. It's going to be a great show tomorrow. I'm excited about it. Can't wait. So until we talk to you tomorrow, of course, I'm your host, Pete. This has been the Fast Lane Sports Show, powered by Hammer DFS. Till tomorrow morning, see ya!
Yeah. We built this city. Yeah.